Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, September 27th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Global equities fall as the Fed prepares to hike rates well into next year.
Stocks and bonds in Italy tumble as budget negotiations hit a last-minute roadblock.
And the White House opens talks with Japan for a new trade agreement.
It's Senate Testimony Day with Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh and the woman accusing him of sexual misconduct. Plus, President Trump calls the accusations a big fat con job. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankee comeback fell short. They lost to Tampa Bay, still two games ahead of Oakland. Jacob DeGrom pitched the Mets to a shutout of the Braves.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Stocks around the world are falling after the Federal Reserve raised rates for the third time this year. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2 points right now. Dow futures down 37. NASDAQ futures higher, up 4.5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. CAC in Paris down 0.33%. FTSE 100, little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 1%, up 71 cents to $72.28 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.40 to $1,200.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1709. The yen, 112.73. Bob.
And the dollar is strengthening after the Federal Reserve raised rates for the third time this year and signaled more hikes are on the way. Michael McKee reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Rates are up, accommodative is gone, and the Fed all but promises a rate increase in December. The assertion that monetary policy remains accommodative has been dropped from the statement, and now 12 members of the committee, three-fourths of them, see one more rate move by the end of the year. Stronger growth appears to be driving the December consensus. Fed officials marked up their median GDP forecast for this year to 3.1% from 2.8% in June, but there's no mention in the statement of tax cuts or trade wars. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And that rate hike from the Fed is not sitting well with President Trump.
I am not happy about that. I'd rather pay down debt or do other things, create more jobs. So I'm worried about the fact that they seem to like raising interest rates. We can do other things with the money.
The remarks are part of a wide-ranging press conference held by the president late yesterday.
He spoke to reporters for 80 minutes on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, saying he refused a one-on-one meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau due to the current stalemate in NAFTA negotiations.
He doesn't seem to want to move, and I've told him, forget about it. And frankly, we're thinking about just taxing cars coming in from Canada. That's the mother load. That's the big one. We're very unhappy with the negotiations and the negotiating style of Canada.
Trudeau's office, though, says it did not request a meeting with Mr. Trump.
Meanwhile, the White House is set to publish the text for its bilateral trade deal with Mexico tomorrow. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has details.
Sources tell Bloomberg it will likely exclude Canada but leave open the possibility for the country to join the agreement later. Under U.S. trade law, the text of the pact has to be published 60 days before it's signed. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said Tuesday that the U.S. is moving forward with the pact by Sunday, so the current Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto, can sign it before leaving office December 1st. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. While talks with Canada stall, President Trump says an agreement has been reached to open trade talks between the U.S. and Japan.
This was something that, for various reasons over the years, Japan was unwilling to do, and now they are willing to do. So we're very happy about that, and I'm sure that we'll come to a satisfactory conclusion.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe had resisted the push for bilateral trade talks, but the threat of auto tariffs ultimately forced him to reconsider. Shares of Japanese automakers rose in Tokyo following that news.
And we have a couple of central bank decisions out of Asia. In Indonesia, policymakers raised their benchmark interest rate to 5.75%. The 25 basis point hike is the fifth time Indonesia's central bank has raised rates since May.
The Philippine Central Bank raised its key interest rate 50 basis points to 4.5%. That's the highest level since 2011 and was in line with estimates from economists surveyed by Bloomberg. Policymakers in the Philippines have now raised rates by a total 150 basis points this year.
In Italy, stocks and bonds are tumbling as budget negotiations are hit by a last-minute dispute. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Well, a Bloomberg source says League leader Matteo Salvini has decided to support a push by Luigi Di Maio of the Five Star Movement for a budget deficit of 2.4% next year. Finance Minister Giovanni Tria has been fighting to keep the shortfall below 2%, but our source says the ruling coalition expects Tria to be open to meeting their demand. An Italian Treasury official has denied reports that the finance minister threatened to resign over the issue. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you very much. Argentina's record bailout is getting bigger, with the IMF promising to increase the nation's credit line. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with those details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Bob. Argentina's credit line will increase to about $57 billion over 3 years from the $50 billion announced in June. In return, President Mauricio Macri and his new central bank chief will have to tighten policy. The history between Argentina and the IMF isn't great. The collapse of a loan program in 2001 led to default and a deep recession. President Macri was asked by Bloomberg's Eric Schatzker this week about the chances of another default.
There is no chance for Argentina to default. There's no chance.
Zero.
Zero.
Argentina's central bank raised interest rates to 60% in August. That's the highest in the world. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And S&P futures are lower, down 3 points this morning. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures are up 2, and the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.04%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And, Karen, thank you. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. The latest on those Supreme Court confirmation hearings from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The day has arrived for the woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct to testify. Christine Blasey Ford and Kavanaugh will testify before a Senate Judiciary Committee today. Rachel Mitchell is the outside counsel who will question Ford and Kavanaugh. Republican Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana called Mitchell a very fine lawyer.
We have no plans whatsoever to try to have any gotcha moments or go Catwoman or Batman on anybody. I mean, the purpose of this is to allow Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh to tell their stories.
Meanwhile, Democrats are demanding an FBI investigation. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon.
Judge Kavanaugh clearly feels that he's innocent. He should be the one to say to the president, I want the FBI to look at this to make sure that my innocence is attested to by the FBI.
Two other women have also accused Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct. Bloomberg will carry the testimony live this morning, starting at 10 a.m. President Trump weighed in on the accusations against Kavanaugh during a news conference yesterday at the U.N. General Assembly in New York. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more from Washington.
President Trump has called the accusations against Kavanaugh from Christine Blasey Ford and other women a big fat con job, but he says he will be watching.
I do want to hear what she says. And maybe she'll say, I could be convinced of anything. Maybe she'll say something.
The president admits his feelings about Kavanaugh's accusers are influenced by the fact he's been accused of sexual misconduct himself. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump also said he and Chinese President Xi Jinping might not be friends anymore. After he accused Beijing of trying to interfere in the U.S. midterm elections, China responded today blasting the allegations. China's foreign ministry says, we urge the U.S. to stop smearing and accusing China. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. And that brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Stasho.
Good morning, Bob. A night after a Yankees win and Oakland loss, lowering the Yanks' magic number for clinching home field in the wild card playoff to 2. It was a Yankee loss and an A's victory. Magic number, still 2. Good start at Tampa Bay. Neil Walker, 3-run homer in the first inning, but by the ninth, it was 8-3 Rays. Yanks then scored 4 times in the ninth inning, had the tying and go-ahead runs on base with one out, couldn't get him in. Rays hung on 8-7. Miguel Andujar popped up for the last out. He went 0-5. Luke Voit 3-5. He narrowly missed a ninth-inning grand slam. Yanks and Rays with a day game today. And then the Yanks on to Boston to finish the regular season. At Citi Field, a Jacob DeGrom masterpiece to cap the best season by a Met pitcher since Doc Gooden in 1985. DeGrom against the playoff-bound Braves went 8 innings, allowed only 2 hits, no walks, 10 strikeouts. Mets won 3-0, though. His record only 10-9. Gooden was 24-4 back in 85. His ERA was 1.70. Will that earn DeGrom the NL Cy Young Award?
You're going to have to ask who votes. But I feel like I wish I had more wins, like I said, but it is what it is. And I feel like I put myself in a pretty good position.
His competition will be Max Scherzer, who's already won 3 Cy Young Awards. Speaking of the Nationals, was last night the last home game in D.C. for Bryce Harper. He'll be a free agent. NL pennant races. Cubs and Brewers both won and clinched at least wild card playoff berths. The Rockies won again, moved into first place ahead of the Dodgers. The Giants say they'll again not have cornerback Eli Apple Sunday against New Orleans. They may be getting pass rusher Olivier Vernon back. He practiced yesterday. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Thank you, John. Take me out to the ballgame, and it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. Strikeouts are likely to exceed hits over a full season for the first time in Major League history. The overall batting average has dropped to its lowest level since 1972, the year before baseball introduced the designated hitter. Strikeouts are on track by the season's end to set a record for the 11th consecutive season, surpassing last year's 40,104. S&P futures down a single point. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty. Developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks around the world falling, the dollar stronger after the Federal Reserve raised rates for the third time this year. U.S. stock index futures, though, erasing their declines. Several banks in Hong Kong followed the Fed in boosting their lending rates, and that weighed on equities in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliette Sully has more.
The increases in the bank's prime rates, effective Friday, are the first since March 2006 and could cast a cloud over the property rally, signaling an end to easy money, which has made Hong Kong one of the world's most expensive places to buy a home. Markets in mainland China also fell, despite a vote of confidence from the FTSE Russell, set to add A shares to its indexes from 2019. The KOSPI was one bright spot, rising 0.7% in Seoul after resuming trade there following 3 days of holidays. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Juliet. S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures up about 12 now. DAX in Germany's down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 80 cents to $72.36 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.30 to $12.01.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1717, and the yen, 112.72. A busy morning for economic data, 8:30 Wall Street time. We get another look at second quarter gross domestic product and the weekly report on initial jobless claims. 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index at a 10 pending home sales. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The much-anticipated Senate hearing on Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh will take place this morning on Capitol Hill. Kavanaugh and the woman who accused him of sexual misconduct will both testify. You can hear the testimony live starting at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. President Trump's meeting with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein may or may not happen as first planned, but Trump says he preferred not to fire him regardless. Rosenstein disputed reports that he discussed possibly secretly recording Trump and using the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. Trump says a meeting today might be delayed because of the Kavanaugh hearing. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won. The Red Sox split a doubleheader with the Orioles. The A's and Nationals won. The Giants lost. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we are joined now by Gray Valier, Chief Market Global Strategist for Horizon Investments. Greg, good morning and welcome. It promises to be some riveting testimony on Capitol Hill today as Brett Kavanaugh is called back before a reopened confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Lawmakers also hearing from his accuser, Christine Blasey Ford, today, who says Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her years ago when they were in high school. I wonder, Greg, how much do you think traders are going to be watching this? In other words, is this going to be a distraction for U.S. traders?
Well, it's going to be such compelling theater, Bob, that, yeah, I think traders will watch. I think yesterday's Fed decision probably was more important for the markets. But no, I do think this is going to be an extraordinary hearing with a lot at stake, the fall elections. And in particular, what's at stake is that the votes aren't there yet. If the full Senate votes next week, I'm not sure Kavanaugh has the votes.
Now, President Trump sounded as though he was leaving some wiggle room to back out, withdraw the Kavanaugh nomination. And what does that tell us about his level of confidence that this nominee has the votes needed to back him up?
In public, Trump and most Republicans are firmly behind Kavanaugh, but in private, they are circulating a list of alternatives, especially female alternatives, if Kavanaugh doesn't survive. So I think Trump has given himself some wiggle room. You're absolutely right. And if she's really compelling and he's not, you could see a lot of Republicans start to bail.
Now, what are the chances that this will have an effect on the midterm elections, and is that what Republicans ultimately respond to?
Yeah, and this is not shaping up as a great story for the Republicans. If he makes it, I think a lot of women will be outraged. But even if he doesn't, I think the defense of him by Trump until just recently will linger. So it could, even if he does get confirmed to the court, it could be, let's say, a Pyrrhic victory for the Republicans.
And as the Republicans consider the midterm elections, they're seeing a lot of women run for office this year, which also skews the equation, does it not?
Well, that's right. And I think you do have more motivated voters among the Democrats, women, young people, people of color. I think they're angry. There are signs recently that Republican turnout might be pretty good as well. But I think for a midterm election, there'll be a bigger turnout of groups like young people than we've seen in the past.
How much is this concerning to Wall Street, not only the Supreme Court nominees' problems, but the political cloud that continues to hang over the administration?
Well, nobody wants instability for month after month after month. And if the Democrats take the House, I do think they'll move on impeachment. I don't see Trump getting convicted by the Senate. But even a trial in the Senate is something that the country and the markets may not want to go through. The most important point, though, is this. Even if the Democrats take both houses, which is possible, I think Trump's veto is still good. So for investors worrying that maybe the Trump tax cuts could get killed, I don't see it because he'd veto any bill that would do that.
I would be remiss in not asking you about the Federal Reserve's decision to raise rates for the third time this year and its signal that more hikes are on the way. How is that going to affect stocks?
Well, I think they made it clear. I think Powell made it clear it's going to be gradual. And he sounded a little more dovish on inflation. I don't think he's worried yet about inflation. So they're not going to overdo it. But he has more work to do, no question, in December, probably a couple more times next year. And a year from now, if the funds rate is 75 or 100 basis points higher, that could be a concern for the markets.
Our thanks to Greg Vallier, Chief Global Strategist for Horizon Investments. And let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures virtually unchanged at this hour. Dow futures down by 20 points, less than a tenth of 1%. And NASDAQ futures are up by 11 points, a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32. The yield is down to 3.0443%. The 2-year yield at 2.8107%. West Texas Intermediate crude back on the rise this morning, up 1% at $72.34 a barrel. Brent crude is up by 0.2% to $81.88 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks overseas are falling as investors digest the likelihood of Federal Reserve interest rate increases stretching into next year. The euro is falling with Italian bonds following a report that Italy may postpone a meeting on its 2019 budget plan.
The oil rally continues this morning. The U.S. has ruled out the release of emergency crude reserves, adding to concerns over potential losses in Iranian supplies. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 69 cents to $72.26 a barrel. And Brent is up 0.6% or 47 cents to $81.79.
We get a lot of U.S. economic data today with readings on factory orders for durable goods, second quarter GDP, and jobless claims, all due out at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
In July, durable goods orders posted the largest decline since January. Economists at Bloomberg Economics say ISM factory data point to an August rebound. The final GDP revision for the second quarter will probably show little change. In the prior report, the government lifted its estimate to a 4.2% pace. Jobless claims have been incredibly low in the prior week, the lowest since November 1969. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Philip Morris International, the maker of Marlboro cigarettes, cut its full-year profit forecast because of the currency crisis in Argentina and Turkey.
Shares of Bed Bath & Beyond are down 14% in early trading. The retailer reported a surprise drop in same-store sales. Carnival and Conagra lead four companies in the S&P 500, reporting earnings today.
In Europe, shares of H&M are up more than 10%. The clothing company's gross margin beat consensus estimates in the third quarter.
We have a couple of central bank decisions to update you on. In Indonesia, policymakers raised their benchmark interest rate to 5.75%. The 25 basis point hike is the fifth time Indonesia's central bank has raised rates since May.
And the Philippine Central Bank raised its key interest rate 50 basis points to 4.5%. That's the highest level since 2011. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are little change now. Dow futures down 11. NASDAQ futures up 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. COMEX gold is little changed, up a dollar now to $1,200 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1716. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:33 on Wall Street. High drama on Capitol Hill today with high stakes for Republicans. Good morning, Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Bob. The Senate Judiciary Committee is raising the curtain on a highly anticipated hearing. Senators will listen to Christine Blasey Ford, the woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her. We'll also hear from Kavanaugh. Republican Senator Jeff Flake slammed fellow GOP lawmakers for denouncing Ford's allegations as, quote, a smear campaign.
For this process to be a process, we have to have open minds. We must listen. We must do our best seek the truth in good faith. That is our only duty.
Bloomberg will carry this morning's hearing live starting at 10 a.m. Two other women have also accused Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct. President Trump called the accusations against his Supreme Court nominee false.
They know it's a big, fat con job. And they go into a room, and I guarantee you, they laugh like hell at what they pulled off on you and on the public.
Trump, during his news conference yesterday, also said he sees no need to set a timetable for North Korea to abandon its nuclear weapons. Trump, in New York, capping his visit to the U.N. General Assembly, said if it takes 2 years, 3 years, or 5 months, it doesn't matter. China is blasting the U.S. after President Trump accused Beijing of trying to interfere with a congressional election. A spokesman for China's foreign ministry says, we urge the U.S. to stop smearing and accusing China. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story in the Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
President Donald Trump says it is this upcoming 2018 midterm election.
They do not want me or us to win because I am the first president ever to challenge China on trade. And we are winning on trade.
Mr. Trump says he thinks President Xi Jinping is a fine man, but doesn't know if he's his friend anymore. He says he doesn't know. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
An estimated 80,000 Americans died of flu and its complications last winter. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Yankees were hoping for another win at Tampa Bay. Maybe get some more help from the Mariners against the A's. And maybe they'd be going into today's game, having wrapped up the first wild card and home field for next Wednesday's playoff game. But the Rays won 8-7, and then Oakland won 9-3, so the Yanks' magic number is still 2. In the loss, Neil Walker hit a first-inning three-run homer, but the Yanks didn't score again until the ninth when they trailed 8-3. Five straight singles, they were within a run, had the tying and go-ahead runs on base with only one out. The comeback fell short. The loss went to Masahiro Tanaka. Aaron Boone knows everything went wrong for Tanaka in the bottom of the first.
Uncharacteristic. He walks a guy, hits a guy. You know, usually that's, you know, command-wise. And then, you know, for a guy that feels the position as well as he does too, kind of overly aggressive on trying to make a play in air, and then we don't make a play behind him. And you know, just he certainly wasn't sharp in that first inning, but, you know, we play a little cleaner and we can limit the damage there.
Tanaka unlikely to be Boone's starter in the wildcard game. It figures to be either Luis Severino or Jay Happ. As for the Mets ace, what a season for Jacob DeGrom. He made 32 starts. None were bad. He gave up 4 runs in the game April 10th and then never gave up as many as 4 runs again. Last night, 2 hits, shutout over 8 innings, 10 strikeouts. Mets blanked the Braves 3-0. DeGrom's record due to lack of run support, just 10-9. But his ERA, 1.70, should be good enough for a Cy Young Award. Colorado Rockies hot at the right time. 6 straight win. Now in first place ahead of the Dodgers. Cubs and Brewers both won, and Clint's no worse than a wild card. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bye.
John, thank you very much. And Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Chairman Jay Powell's efforts to protect the Fed from President Trump's push for low rates. Also in this week's issue, we hear from the CEO of a company working on autonomous car technology that can see and adjust to inclement weather.
We as a sector are trying to build an autonomous vehicle that is as safe enough and reliable enough to be adopted by the public broadly. And so there are all of these critical path issues that you run into after you solve some of the earlier problems, and weather is one of those.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now, and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly, weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for your Tri-State Business Report, and good morning to you, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Bob. Amazon.com is opening a store in New York City today that features its best-selling and top-rated products. It's the online retailer's latest effort at physical stores, where most consumer spending still occurs. The Amazon 4-star store features devices, kitchen items, toys, books, and games. Ford Scudder, who served as state treasurer of New Jersey under former Governor Chris Christie, has joined Guggenheim Partners as a managing director. Scudder will serve as managing director of investment structuring in the firm's infrastructure and project finance team. First Connecticut Bancorp shareholders have approved its acquisition by People's United Financial. People's United sees opportunities to cut costs when the banks are combined. It says it can eliminate 50% of First Connecticut's non-interest expenses by consolidating branches and eliminating duplicated administrative costs. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about how Panasonic's battery expansion may ease Tesla's Model 3 production problems.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about Cadillac relocating its headquarters from Soho back to Michigan.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Brexit as French President Macron says he would welcome the UK back to the EU if voters change their minds.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Sprint is making the case for the T-Mobile merger, telling the FCC it can't afford needed investments.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, we're watching for earnings from ConAgra.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting President Trump wants more U.S. cars in Japan. Trouble is, buyers there may not want them.
Thank you all, and those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures virtually unchanged at this hour. Dow futures down 23 points. NASDAQ futures up 9 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. And straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, an in-depth look at the parallels between today's Supreme Court confirmation hearing and the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill face-off 27 years ago in our next segment right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and Asia felt falling as investors digest the likelihood of more Federal Reserve interest rate increases stretching into next year. U.S. stock index futures, meanwhile, little changed. Dow futures are down 18. NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 3.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 68 cents to $72.25 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change, up less than a tenth of a percent, up 90 cents to $1,200 an ounce. The euro, $1.1708, the yen, 112.75. A busy morning for economic data at 8:30 Wall Street time. We get another look at second quarter gross domestic product and the weekly report on initial jobless claims. 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. Then at 10, pending home sales and ConAgra brands among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, saying you'll keep an open mind. President Trump says you'll be watching today when Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accuser Christine Blasey Ford tells her story. Ford will also testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee about her accusations of sexual misconduct against Kavanaugh when they were teens. Bloomberg will carry the hearing live this morning starting at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein could end up being able to keep his job despite offering his resignation over reports he suggested secretly recording President Donald Trump. Rosenstein was scheduled to meet with Trump today, but the president said he may ask for a delay to avoid conflicting with Kavanaugh's Senate hearing. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won. The Red Sox split a doubleheader with the Orioles. The A's and Nationals won. The Giants lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF Report. It's brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Now here's Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora.
The world's largest marijuana ETF is expanding its portfolio and doubling its stake in Tilray.
It's after it came under fire for not holding Wall Street's hottest pot stock. We're talking about the Horizons Marijuana Life Sciences Index ETF, ticker HMMJ. It added 8 new stocks to its portfolio and boosted its holdings in several companies, including Tilray, which touched a high of $300 last week. Now it's trading closer to $115. Horizon also increased positions in Aurora Cannabis, Canopy Growth, and GW Pharmaceuticals. HMMJ has $830 million in assets under management and had $4 million in inflows this week. The frenzy around weed stocks comes ahead of Canada's legalization of recreational pot next month. It is projected to create a domestic market of more than $3 billion. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
Thank you, Patrice. Shakespeare said, "What is past is prologue." And as the Senate Judiciary Committee prepares for a high-drama hearing into the sexual misconduct allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, it's informative to look back 27 years to October 1991. That's when President George H.W. Bush's Supreme Court nominee, Clarence Thomas, was called back in his confirmation process to face the sexual misconduct allegations of Anita Hill, his former assistant. The panel's chairman at the time was Democrat Joe Biden of Delaware.
This is not a referendum on whether or not sexual harassment is a grave offense. I said from the beginning, this is about whether or not sexual harassment occurred. Now we're going to hear more witnesses. They're going to come in and corroborate your position and hers. We'll find out whether they're telling the truth or not as best as we are capable of doing, just like you as a judge are when you look them in the eye and make a judgment.
Senator, I think this whole affair is sick. I think it's sick, too.
Utah Republican Orrin Hatch was one of Thomas's defenders in those hearings, just as he's defending Brett Kavanaugh as a member of the same Senate panel today. Just as the Clarence Thomas hearing was then, today's hearing is being called a watershed moment. A record 257 women are running for the House and Senate in the 2018 midterm elections. In 1992, 28 women were elected to the House of Representatives and 4 to the Senate, among them Democrat Patty Murray, the state of Washington's first female U.S. senator.
I am a United States senator today because of the way Anita Hill was treated in 1991. They called Anita Hill a liar. They said she was coached by special interest groups. They looked for ways to blame her, impugn her, and attack her.
They pressed the young professor for explicit details of the harassment she said she had faced on the job.
My working relationship became even more strained when Judge Thomas began to use work situations to discuss sex. On these occasions, he would call me into his office for reports on education issues and projects, or he might suggest that because of the time pressures of his schedule, we go to lunch to a government cafeteria. After a brief discussion of work, he would turn the conversation to a discussion of sexual matters. His conversations were very vivid. Because I was extremely uncomfortable talking about sex with him at all, and particularly in such a graphic way, I told him that I did not want to talk about these subjects.
What happened after Hill's opening statement explains why this time Republicans on the Judiciary Committee have named an outside counsel who they can choose to have question Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. In 1991, Hill was a lone woman facing a panel of 14 skeptical men, among them Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter.
A mere allegation.
Senator, I would suggest to you that for me these are more than mere allegations. These are the truth to me. These comments are the truth to me.
I'm not questioning your statement when I use the word allegation. I know about sexual harassment and discrimination against women, and I think I have some sensitivity on it. How reliable is your testimony in October of 1991 on events that occurred 8-10 years ago? How sure can you expect this committee to be on the accuracy of your statements?
And it wasn't just Republicans who raised the eyebrows and even the ire of many women watching the hearings.
She could be living in a fantasy world. I don't know. We're just trying to get to the bottom of all of these facts.
Howell Heflin was a Democrat from Alabama.
In trying to determine whether you're telling falsehoods or not, I've got to determine what your motivation might be. Are you a scorned woman? Do you have a militant attitude relative to the area of civil rights?
No, I don't have a militant attitude.
Do you have a martyr complex?
No, I don't.
Well, do you see that coming out of this that you can be a hero in the civil rights movement?
I do not have that kind of complex. I don't like all of the attention that I'm getting. I would not, even if I like the attention, I would not lie to get attention.
Thomas adamantly insisted the accusations were not true.
I've never been accused of sex harassment. And anybody who knows me knows I am adamantly opposed to that. Adamantly. And yet I sit here accused. And I'll never be able to get my name back. I know it. The day I received the phone call on Saturday night, last Saturday night, about 7:30, and told that this was going to be in the press, I died. The person you knew, whether you voted for me or against me.
He choked back tears as he complained that he, his family, his friends, and the country had been irreparably harmed.
My view is that that is an injustice. And if by going through this, another nominee in the future or another American won't have to go through it, then so be it.
In the end, Republicans on the panel delivered impassioned defenses of the Supreme Court nominee, Wyoming's Alan Simpson, confronting Hill directly.
Maybe, it seems to me you didn't really intend to kill him, but you might have. And that's pretty heavy. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. Kind of a singular torpedo blow below the waterline, and he sinks.
Within 5 days, Thomas was confirmed by a narrow Senate majority of 52-48. Today, Washington Democrat Patty Murray is warning Republicans against a rush to confirm Brett Kavanaugh.
Women are watching. We are not going to allow that to happen again. If Republicans attack Dr. Ford and this turns into anything like what we saw back in 1991, women across the country are going to rise up, make their voices heard, and Republicans will pay a very huge price.
Live coverage begins at 10 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Karen.
All right, Bob, thank you. It is 5:57 on Wall Street, and S&P futures are little change this morning. Dow futures down 19, NASDAQ futures up 11. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 3.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 73 cents at $72.30 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $11.99.80 an ounce. The euro at $1.1703, the yen at 1.12.74. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.